All right, if you're listening on the phone, we're in Heavenly Places, page 100. And it's titled Special Care for the Weak, and it's for April 3rd, if you actually have the booklet. Thank you, Brother Ace, for the praiser. I'll put it on there. And welcome back, my brother. I just noticed you when you said something there. I said, oh, look at that. Brother Ace is back. So praise the Lord. And Sabbath blessings to you too, my brother. Okay. All right. And thanks, David. That's the link if you want to go to In Heavenly Places. That's in the room right there, page 100. And it says this. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:10. You know, I was just thinking about this yesterday. I was going to write a sermon called Little Ones. As a matter of fact, I think I still have it on the, where did I put it? In here somewhere. All right, come on, this just is. Okay, it's around here somewhere. But anyway, yeah, Little Ones, that's what I was going to call it. Because this is where we got to get to that point. And it's kind of like that sermon I did years ago about primitive godliness. But this would be more on the aspect of using the analogy of the child. But anyway, let's see what Sister White has to say. She says, man is God's property, and angels are looking with intense interest to see how man will deal with his fellow man. When heavenly intelligences see those who claim to be the sons and daughters of God putting forth Christ-like efforts to help the erring, manifesting a tender, sympathetic spirit for the repentant and the fallen, angels press close to them and bring to their remembrance the very words that will soothe and uplift the soul. So keep that in mind. And see, and for those of us, you know, like, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a few of you here that deal with helping, you know, Christians, you know, get to a better understanding of the Lord. And you're going to be tempted every now and then, especially after you get a few years under your belt, to, in other words, don't go with the temptation, don't go with the flesh, go with the discernment. And what I've noticed in my own walk in this regard is I often will get tempted by the enemy of souls to get upset when people send me questions in emails because... people that I don't know. These are people that I do not know yet. All right, people that I do know, you know, because I know my brother, I know my sister, and I know that they're genuinely asking the questions, but because they want to know the answer. But some Catholics and even some Seventh-day Adventists will do this to me. They'll email me with what appears to be a legitimate question so that they can get a response from me, and then of course get my email address. And when they do these, when they ask these questions, they're more or less being deceptive. And a red flag will go up once in a while. 80% of the time I'm correct, and I praise the Holy Spirit for that. But 20% of the time, it's just the enemy of souls trying to get me not to respond or to respond in a negative manner to somebody. And irregardless, if I know it's a bad person or not, I'm still not going to answer negatively. I am not going to. I'm not going to... No matter what, because even if I know I'm right, I'm going to give them as much love as I can. But this is what I praise the Lord for, because he'll slow you down. And there really is a lot to that stop, count to 10 theology. Especially when you just all of a sudden get an email from somebody and it's just filled with hate. And you want to just all of a sudden hit that keyboard and just fly up smoke coming out of your fingertips. And you want to just give them what for, you know. But don't do that, you know. Of course, 90% of you here... wouldn't. But those of us that have that Sons of Thunder attitude, and I'm not going to mention any names, but one of them's name, you know, initials are Nick, but I get a little bit too bold at times, and I understand that, that I shouldn't do that. But I praise God for that, you know, that wisdom he gives me at times to stop, look, and listen kind of a thing. And when you do that, it is just amazing how John 14:26 comes into play here, where these ministering angels are just doing what Jesus said they have to do so that his promise goes forward and all things brought to your remembrance whatsoever you said unto you. And then you get those additional little bits and pieces of love that they need to hear. And it works out great. But still, even if they come back and they're slamming you left or right, and you know, it can get ugly. You just say goodbye, and then, you know, I have a special way of doing it. I just send with an email address that can't be responded to, like a no reply, because I don't want to play the games. I, you know, when I was a younger Christian, yeah, I'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, trying to get the person to see it. But I learned my lesson on like the news groups and whatnot from the Catholics. You could speak to some of these people for literally years, and I did it. This one guy, especially this one guy called Bam, that's what his name was on the news groups, and he's one of the reasons I generated upwards of 40,000 posts from myself alone from just responding to some of his hateful remarks and me coming back with scriptures and letting him know. Says, you know, if in the future at one time that you come to your senses and you get your knees bent to Jesus Christ, how are you going to explain to all the people in the world that look at the Usenet posts that you're putting up with all this hatred? You can use it as a testimony, or it's going to be a judgment against you when an eastern sky splits. Because this stuff ain't going to get deleted. And my stuff is still on there. You can't delete it. It's on a Usenet server. And so, but, you know, the theology behind, you know, the Titus 3:10, give up after the second time. Because there's people out there that really need to hear the truth. Don't let Sanballat keep tossing stones at you, thinking that you're gonna win this one over. No, give him as what you can twice, and if he doesn't want to deal with it, then be on your way. You got work to do. But she goes on to say, holy angels are on the track of every one of us. We are not to despise the least of God's little ones. Jesus has given his precious life, his personal attention, to the least of God's little ones. And angels that excel in strength encamp round about them that fear God. Then let us be upon our guard, and never permit one contemptuous thought to occupy the mind in regard to one of the little ones of God. I mean, that's a very sobering thought. You know, especially if you're prone to be a little bold, because that enemy of souls, he is so annoying, and I will be tempted once in a while from these people that email me that I don't know. I'll be tempted to be angry with them. Because I just discern that they're okay. They're starting up another one of those little hate fests. But they could be a little one, you know. And so we all gotta. I'm sure many of us have issues in this area. I can't be the only one. And she says we should look after the erring with solitude. All right, I'm going to go to freedictionary.com. I've seen the word before. I think solitude. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but I've never seen it spelt. And there's a C in there that's throwing me off. So let me go to freedictionary.com or thefreedictionary.com. I know I'm not advertising for them. I'm just letting you know where I'm headed. Let's see how they say it in the U.S.
Solicitude.
Okay, what about in Britain?
Solicitude.
Oh, just a little upper crusty there. All right, so solicitude, obviously it means a state of being solicitous, care or concerning, you know, concern for the well-being. So she says we should look after the erring with solicitude and speak encouraging words to the fallen in fear lest by some unwise action we shall turn them away from the pitying Savior. And that's what you got to have that in the back of your mind at all times, because you could say something. And in email's infamous for this. Some of us already know about this. It's better to just talk on a phone or face-to-face, better yet. I mean, you can hear a smile over the phone easily. Yes, you can hear a smile. Try it. I mean, like, as a matter of fact, when I was doing telemarketing, I used to train my people. I put a mirror in front of them. And I would only make the mirror to the point where you could see your lips. You don't have to be sitting there gazing into your eyes when you're on the phone. It says, look at your mouth when you're talking on the phone. They can hear a smile. So when you see your lips and they're not smiling, make yourself smile on certain statements, because they can hear it. You can literally hear a smile. And an email, it's not so easy. And this is why sometimes I'll put smiley faces all over the email to let the person know that I'm trying my best to relay as much love and caring or solicitude as I possibly can at this point, because it's needed. It calls for it. And but like I said, you know, email is, especially if you don't know the person. Oh, and the capital letters, unless you're making a point on one word, you want to be careful with that because, you know, internet etiquette, especially in text chats, capital, like a word all in caps, usually means you're yelling. And that doesn't go over very well. And it's hard to read anyway. Sometimes some people send me emails, all caps. I got the benefit of having a HTML program where I can convert it all back down to lowercase. It makes it easier to read, but usually I just delete emails like that because I know where they're going anyway. So, anyway, she goes on to say, all heaven is interested in the work of saving the lost. Angels watch with intense interest to see who will leave the 99 and go out in tempest and storm and rain into the wild desert to seek the lost sheep. The lost are all around us, perishing and sadly neglected. But they are of value to God, the purchase of the blood of Christ. By all that has given us advantage over another, be it education and refinement, nobility of character, Christian training, religious experience, we are in debt to those less favored. And so far as lies in our power, we are to minister on to them. If we are strong, we are to stay up the hands of the weak. Angels of glory that do always behold the face of the Father in heaven make such their special charge. Angels are ever present where they are most needed, with those who have the hardest battle with self to fight, and whose surroundings are the most disagreeable. And in this ministry, Christ's true followers will cooperate. And this thought keeps coming to mind while I was reading this whole thing. What do you do when it's family? And that's not easy. It's, you know, I've got loved ones, you know, that I'm very, very concerned with. And you can't, like every Sabbath, like when I do, like Friday night or even Sabbath day when I do the studies, if I'm not preaching, let's say I'm preaching too. I mean, it's just like the whole time it runs through my mind, and it's just so heart-wrenching sometimes to me. When I'm doing the studies or whatnot, and I look in the text chat or I look at the, and my loved ones aren't here, you know, and so it tells me, okay, go to them, but like I say, if I wanted to go to my siblings, they're not going to want to hear it. I mean, what do you do? In these cases, all you can do is pray. You say, Father, because they, 9 times out of 10, like say, if you got children, they don't believe the way you do, or if you got siblings that don't believe the way you do, but they've heard the message, they know what you have to say, and they've heard it from you for years, let's say. Let's say it's a kid, one of your children, and they've heard it, and they know exactly where you stand in regards to this or that or whatever. My favorite prayer in this respect, outside the wake them up, shake them up prayer, and I like to do the wake them up, shake them up prayer because it works. It's what got me back on my knees. It's what got me out of Catholicism. But is I like to pray, Father, you know, please send them somebody that preaches the exact same truth we do, but someone that they don't, you know, that we don't know. Because if you hear it from another source, it really locks it in. Sometimes, I mean, I'm not going for that, like, okay, it's a seed planted, and you go, well, I heard that somewhere. No, your kids know you heard it from you, all right? But there are those times that your neighbor or your sibling or coworker and stuff like that heard it from you, and they forgot they heard it from you, and then someone else comes to them and shares with them, and then that thought comes to them, you know, it just solidifies the truth that you already told them, and then a little bit of water goes on the seed that you planted. And so, praise the Lord for that. But pray those prayers, because I can't see any other way. I mean, and I can't see, and somebody could show me in the scriptures otherwise. When it comes to family, it's just I can't do the Titus 3:10 thing. I mean, I could walk away and not preach to them, of course, because it's all it's going to do is anger them anyway. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying for them. You know? Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed.